Question. This unrelated, sorry. Maybe another time I can rap, but not tonight. Some examples of how God showed me grace. Some examples of how God showed me grace. I do find a lot of grace in, for instance, you know, when I was younger, kind of being cynical as a young person, being a cynical young person, finding my heart opening and caring about other people, caring about others' welfare and goodness. That's very strange, you know. That's the biggest miracle, that I care about someone else aside from myself. That's a huge miracle. That's grace. And I think that movement of love, concern for other people, you know, maybe not being obsessed with new shoes or a new phone or whatever, and to say, what about someone else? What are their needs? I think that's the biggest one for me, caring about other people. So, more questions. How do I know the religious life is right for you? Number one question, everywhere I go. How did you know? How do you know? How do you know? Well, you see, when I started thinking about it, I didn't know for sure. I didn't know for sure. You know, I think that a lot of us think that, like, there's some moment. Moment. No moments. Okay, maybe like, you know, 1,000 moments. 1,000 smiles and laughters and, you know, just 1,000 moments, not moment. No what? No neon sign, believe it or not. So I think that a lot of religious congregations were set up so that you can discern within the first few years and leave within the first few years. You know, that's the way it's set up. So you don't have any problem like going off and getting married or maybe finding that, oh, this is not for me. It's set up that way. You're not supposed to have 100% certain. You don't even need like 75% certainty. And I think in some cases maybe you don't even need 55% certainty to say, I'm just going to come and visit and kind of get to know you guys a little bit and go study with you, like I went study with the Augustinians before I joined. But I mean, so there wasn't like, in fact, if I were to say, you know, the more crystallizing moments, a lot of that stuff was happening over the years as I was being in the Augustinians, more and more confirmations. I didn't get signs, but I felt some kind of satisfying confirmation after saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take the next step, you know, and then I would feel some kind of affirmation. It didn't really be like, okay, God, you're going to give me a sign? I'll take another step. All right, another sign? Another sign? Come on. Okay, another step. All right. No, it didn't happen like that. I would say, yeah, I reasonably believe this. I'm going to take another step. And then God would be like, cha-ching, and I'd be like, all right, so. Another question.
Can you tell us a little more of the story of how St. Augustine turned to Christ after being such a wanderer?
All right, so just maybe in very specific detail. So thank you very much. Maybe I should have said a more specific detail. Augustine was a wanderer. He was in a cult. He was an atheist. He studied philosophy. There's this guy, Ambrose. He was a bishop. Ambrose, he thought, Ambrose is a really eloquent man. Okay, Ambrose knows how to talk. I'm going to go listen to him talk and kind of look at what his public speaking skills are like. So Augustine was kind of on the verge of being a catechumen. And so he would go and hear Ambrose talk. And that was one of the turning points. He thought, well, these Christians aren't a bunch of dopes. This Ambrose guy is freaking brilliant. So He would mine Ambrose for questions, and Ambrose who was older than him and experienced, Ambrose, you know, also eventually connected with Saint Monica, his crazy obsessive mother, who like followed him all the way to like Rome and Milan to make sure that he wasn't going to hell. And so Monica was like, "Wow, here's this guy Ambrose. Augustine trusts him. So, and Augustine also had some friends who were also having similar questions. You know, so Augustine was probably in his late 20s. Probably in his late 20s where he was arriving to this point. But he said, he couldn't be a Christian unless he lived a vow of celibate chastity. He didn't conceive of Christian life as compatible with marriage. He didn't see it as, like, worse, but he just couldn't conceive of himself as a Christian unless he gave up everything for Christ. And it's like, well, he couldn't do that. He had all these sins. And so eventually he came to a moment where he was like, why can't I just get to the next point, God? Why can't I? It was just like, it just got made him sick to his stomach that he couldn't do that. He couldn't take that risk. So eventually he came across a little papyrus of a scripture or something, and it had a passage, you know, not in drunkenness and licentiousness, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. And that passage in Romans chapter 13 is explicitly about baptism. He was putting off baptism, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the alb. Get buried in that holy water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and die and rise again with Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was bawling. And so that was we talk about moments, that was kind of a crystallizing moment for him. But there were so many stepping stones on the way. Some of the intelligent pagan philosophers, Ambrose, his crazy mother, who's a saint, God bless her, and his friends. It was a mutual journey of friendship. So do we have one more question? Okay, Augustine was personally bothered. I mentioned Augustine was personally bothered by a literal interpretation of Genesis. So Augustine heard about this when he was younger. Augustine heard about this. Was he the first one? Was he the first one to have that? Was he the first one to be bothered by that? Was he the first one to try to address that? Well, Augustine felt bothered by this at a young age, and that was one of the reasons. He also thought Christians are supposed to be dumb, are supposed to be dopes, and so he had a lot of other reasons. But he never really actually talked about it with Christians. He just kind of arrived at conclusions. And maybe he did talk about it with somebody who didn't have a very, very, I don't know, no, I don't want to say educated, maybe the subtleties of imagery of used in the scriptures. So when he came to Ambrose, you know, he kind of saw that the scripture was so much bigger. Scripture was so much bigger than he had thought. So Ambrose, I think, definitely helped him. Augustine also cites another scriptural passage, you know, in the Psalms. One day, or 1,000 years, 1,000 years of our life, of our history, is one day in your lifespan, O God. 1,000 years is one day. So for Augustine, it was clear, hey, it could have been 7,000, 700,000, 7 million. Based on scripture, just based on revelation.